thirsty, come to the well that never runs dry. Drink of the water, come and thirst no more. Come all you sinners, come find his mercy. Come to the table, he will satisfy. Taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. Failures, bring your addictions, come lay them down at the foot of a cross. Jesus is waiting there with open arms. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated, now it is well. I'm walking in freedom. For God so loved, God so loved the world. Praise God, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, for the wonders of his love. Praise God, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, for the wonders of his love. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated, now it is well. I'm walking in freedom. For God so loved, God so loved the world. Bring all your failures, bring your addictions, come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting. God so loved the world.
Amen, and good morning, Grace Bible Fellowship. It's good to see all of you here this morning. Looks like it's going to be a beautiful day. Amen. And we are going to finish the book of Galatians today. I want to welcome each of you here today. If you're a guest with us, there's a place in the bulletin that says, "Welcome to Grace Bible Fellowship." You can fill that out, tear that page off, and throw it in the little wood box by the double doors that you came in this morning. And that lets us know who was here worshiping the Lord with us today. Well, I've got a praise for you this morning. The students at the Chili Cook-Off raised around $4,300. To help them go to camp, so that's gigantic. And thank y'all, all of you, for being part of that every year. We help really dramatically lower the cost of camp for students. And you know, if I have it, can get intense when they're all going at one time, you know what I mean? And so I want to thank y'all. And I will say this, by the way, Zach and Chelsea Stovall got first place. Not that it's about us, right? But Second place, Tom and Janet Robinson. And third place, Brent and Brianna Morrow. And so, anyway, just thank you for being part of that. It's always a lot of fun. And I did it again. Rainwater and I did it again. We put a little bit of all 22 crock pots in one bowl, and it's the best chili you've ever had. That's always fun. All right, we're going to do something special. Terry Rainwater this Friday is having a triple bypass. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to lead us in prayer, but I'm going to ask some of you, get up there, go back here. Terry, wave at us. Go back there and lay hands on that dude. While I lead us in prayer. If you can't get to him, just lay hands on the guy behind you, or him. There we go. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and we thank you, and we worship you, Lord, because of how much you love us, how you provide for us, how you protect us, and how you heal us. And Lord, we acknowledge today that you are the great physician. So we lift up Terry to you. We pray for your healing hand on his life. We pray that you would be with him and his bride this week, even as they go through all the prep work they have to go through. Father, we pray that you give the doctors and the nurses divine wisdom, guidance, and may your hand of grace be on them. Help Terry and Trish to watch for where you're working while they're going through all of this, because you're always at work all around us. There's people who need to know Jesus Christ. Help them to watch for that and join you in what you're doing so that they can be part of experiencing your presence and your work in their lives and through their lives. So we lift this precious couple up to you. We pray, Lord, for your support, for your security in their lives, and that they may experience your presence in a special way as only you can make happen in our lives. And Father, today, may everything we do in this service be all about you and your glory. May it further your kingdom and be a blessing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's side. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Since things are lost in its life-giving flow, there's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus, your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. I believe you gave sight to the blind. I believe that the dead came to life. I believe there were wonders and signs. You're still the same. I believe every word that you said. I believe there are scars in your hands, that your goodness is good without end, and you'll never change. I will tell of your wonders, sing of your grace. The God of creation knows me by name. The Lord is faithful yesterday, now, and always. Always, your mercy is mighty, age after age, and all generations will bow down in praise. The Lord is faithful yesterday, now, and always. Always, I believe you will come in the clouds. I believe you are here even now. In your presence, I know there is power, power to save. Oh, I will tell of your wonders, sing of your grace. The God of creation knows me by name. The Lord is faithful yesterday, now, and always. Always. Your mercy is mighty, age after age, and all generations bow down in praise. The Lord is faithful yesterday, now, and always. You were, you are, and you always will be God. Yes, you were. You are, you always will be God. Yes, you always will be God. I will tell of your wonders, sing of your grace. The God of creation knows me by name. The Lord is faithful yesterday, now, and always. Always. Your mercy is mighty, age after age, and all generations bow down in praise. The Lord is faithful yesterday, now, and always. Always. You were, you are, you always will be God. Yes, you were. You are, and you always will be God. Yes, you always will be God. Your mercy is mighty, age after age. All generations will bow down in praise. The Lord is faithful yesterday, now, and always. you search me, how you know me. You perceive my every thought from afar. In all my wandering, still you love me. King of glory, you pursue my anxious heart. Even when I'm not your faithful, even when I doubt your truth holds, even when I'm lost, you won't let me go. When my heart is dry, your grace flows. No matter where I run, I'm not far from home. Yeah, I may be weak, but you're able. Even when I'm not, you're faithful. Even when I'm not, you're faithful. Lord, you search me, how you know me. You perceive my every thought from afar. In all my wandering, still you love me. King of glory, you pursue my anxious heart. Even when I'm not your faithful, even when I doubt your truthfulness, even when I'm lost, you won't let me go. And when my heart is dry, your grace flows. No matter where I run, I'm not far from home. Yeah, I may be weak, but you're able. Even when I'm not, you're faithful. Even when I'm not, you're faithful. Where can I go from your spear? And where can I hide from your face? Where can I flee from your presence? Where would I go? Where would I go? If I rise to the heavens, you're with me. If I fall to the depths of the sea, even there it's your hand that will lead me. Wherever I go, wherever I go, where can I go from your spear? And where can I hide from your face? Where can I flee from your presence? And where would I go? Where would I go? If I rise to the heavens, you're with me. If I fall to the depths of the sea, even there it's your hand that will lead me. Wherever I go, wherever I go. Even when I'm not your faithful, even when I doubt your true thoughts, even when I'm lost, you won't let me go. When my heart is dry, your grace flows. No matter where I run, I'm not far from home. Yeah, I may be weak, but you're able. Even when I'm not, you're faithful. Where can I go from your spirit? And where can I hide from your face? Where can I flee from your presence? Where would I go? Where would I go? If I rise to the heavens, you're with me. If I fall to the depths of the sea, even there it's your hand that will lead me. Wherever I go, wherever I go.
Father, we thank you that you stoop to us. You don't wait for us to come to you. You draw us out. You call us to you. None of us in here could claim salvation if you had not first called us. So we thank you that no matter where we are, where you find us, that before we acknowledge you, before when we're still your enemies, you called us to you. You made a way. You sacrificed your one and only Son so that we could sing these songs with conviction, knowing that it's true. Father, we thank you for this morning yet again that you've given us to come here. And I pray that this is not a checklist thing for us, that we showed up to church so we're good for the week. But Father, give us ears to hear. Give us hearts to understand the word that you have for us through Pastor Chris this morning. Not his wisdom, Father, but yours. Show us where we need to apply it. Open our eyes to the people we need to share it with this week, Father. I pray that it would encourage us, renew us, invigorate us to be in your word this week, not to take Pastor Chris's word for it on Sundays only, but to be in your word, to set aside that time to meet with you each and every day. So Father, we thank you for this beautiful morning that you've given us. We thank you for all the things that we see you doing in and around this church family. And Father, as always, we pray that we will never be about a building or a project or any of that, but that all that we do at Grace Bible Fellowship will point people to Jesus Christ, the one and only risen Savior, in whose name we pray this morning. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Matt. So we're in Galatians chapter 6. We're going to finish up chapter 6 this morning. We're going to be looking at Galatians chapter 6, verses 11 through 18. This is Paul's final encouragement and final admonishment, to be honest with you. And so beginning with verse 11 in Galatians chapter 6, Paul says, "See with what large letters I'm writing to you with my own hand. Those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised, simply so that they will not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. But may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither is circumcision anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And those who will walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause trouble for me, for I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brethren. Amen." Now, what I'm going to do for you, you go ahead and just keep looking at what you're looking, but I'm going to read it to you in the New Living Translation because it does a really good job in this passage right here of helping us understand what Paul's saying. So Paul says, "Notice what large letters I use as I write these closing words in my own handwriting. Those who are trying to force you to be circumcised are doing so because they want to look good to others. And they don't want to be persecuted for teaching that the cross of Christ alone can save. And even those who advocate circumcision, they don't keep the whole law themselves. They only want you to be circumcised so they can boast about it and claim you as their disciples. As for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died. It doesn't matter whether we've been circumcised or not. What counts is whether we have been transformed into a new creation. May God's peace and mercy be upon all who live by this principle. They are the new people of God, the Israel of God. From now on, don't let anyone trouble me with these things. For I bear on my body the scars that show I belong to Jesus Christ. Dear brothers and sisters, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen." Now notice in verse 11 again that he says, "Notice what large letters I use as I write these closing words in my own handwriting." I'm going to continue to use the New Living Translation. You look at your ESV, your New American Standard, whatever you have. But I'm going to continue to go through the New Living Translation in this sermon. Again, it helps us. It does a really good job of translating what Paul's trying to say. And so Paul informs them that he's writing his closing arguments himself. Now, ordinarily, he would have had a secretary write down what he dictated. In fact, this would have been the normal practice in Roman culture at that time. But he wanted them to know that as he's closing this letter to them, he wants them to know and understand that it's in his own handwriting. He's writing it himself, probably to emphasize the main point of the entire letter, which was point number one in your notes this morning. Salvation is by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in God's Savior, Jesus Christ alone. Now, we've talked about that many, many times as we've gone through Galatians. In short, Paul's entire argument to the Galatians is that, you might want to write this down somewhere in your notes if you're taking notes, salvation comes by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Memorize that phrase. Salvation comes by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And that's Paul's main argument throughout the book of Galatians. Whereas the Judaizers in Galatia wanted these new Christians to be circumcised, also showing that they held to the Jewish traditions as well. Look at verses 12 and 13. Those who are trying to force you to be circumcised, the Judaizers, they want to look good to others, meaning they want to look good to the Jews and the Romans. And you'll understand why here in a few minutes. They want to look good to others, and they don't want to be persecuted for teaching that the cross of Christ alone can save. And even those who advocate circumcision don't keep the whole law themselves. They only want you to be circumcised so they can boast about it and claim you as their disciples. And so who exactly are the Judaizers trying to impress? They're trying to avoid criticism and persecution from both the Jews and the Romans. To the Jews, if the Christians were believers in Christ and also circumcised, which would have made them Judaizers, who believed it was okay to believe in Jesus as long as you still held to the rules and rituals of Judaism. And then that would signify, if you believed in Christ but you were still circumcised, it would signify to the Jews that you weren't part of some competing religion. And we don't like that, right? When others compete with us. So it would signify that you were not part of a competing religion. But to the Romans, it would signify that you were just another sect of Judaism, which was the recognized legal religion according to Rome. Therefore, the act of circumcision would allow them to avoid persecution altogether. And in addition, the Judaizers could claim that these new believers were their own converts, making themselves also look good among those of their kind. It'd be akin to you and I bragging about how many people are members at GBF. Those are some of the things we talked about when we started this church. We're not going to brag about how many people are members. We're not going to brag about how many people are attenders. We're not going to brag about how many people have been baptized. And that's what these Judaizers were looking to do, to avoid criticism and at the same time try to look good to those around them. So at GBF, we decided up front 15 years ago, we are not going to play the numbers game, and many churches do, and they do it to avoid criticism, and they do it to boast about their own efforts, which is exactly what Paul was saying the Judaizers were trying to do. Look at verses 14 through 16. He says, "As for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's a guy that gets it. That's a guy that gets it and truly understands the gospel. Amen? May I never boast in anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's because of that cross, he says, my interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died. It doesn't matter whether we've been circumcised or not. What counts is whether we've been transformed into a new creation. May God's peace and mercy be upon all who live by this principle. They are the new people of God. They are the Israel of God. And so Paul's saying, in effect, Christianity is not about our achievements. It's about what Christ achieved on our behalf through his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. Amen? Therefore, Christ and what he did for us on the cross is all we have to boast about. And when we truly understand what Jesus did for us on the cross to save us and redeem us, we will never again boast in what we have done for him. Amen? Those are some biblical principles that this church was founded on. And as long as I pastor here, will remain. Because when we truly understand the cross, when we truly let it sink down in deep into our hearts, where it begins to take hold and grow roots in our hearts, we'll no longer brag about how many numbers we have, what our budget looks like, what our programs look like, how many people attend, how many people have been baptized. The only thing we'll brag about is the cross of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise God. God deliver us all from our arrogance. God, please deliver us all from competing with other people. Lord Jesus, please deliver us all from comparing ourselves with other people. Cindy Janeka says this in her, it's day 10 of her book that most of us are going through, The Challenge to Trust on the Path to Peace. In that moment of agonizing anguish on the cross, Jesus took all of our sin upon himself. So we would never again have to experience separation from God. You see, all of us were born with a sin nature, the Bible says. And because God is holy, he's completely separated from sin. And so because we were born with a sin nature, every one of us has been completely separated from God until we put our faith in Jesus Christ, right? The grace of God, meaning God did for you and I what we could never do for ourselves. We could never earn it. We could never work for it. It's never going to get us home, the Bible says. And if it is by works, the Bible says in Romans 11:6, it's no longer by grace. You've just canceled out grace once you start depending on your own works again. And in that moment of agonizing anguish, Jesus took all of our sin upon himself so we would never again have to experience separation from God. Once you've entered a personal relationship with God through the saving grace of Jesus Christ, God promises you will never again be separated from him. Although there are times you may feel distance from God, it's never because he's not near you. Instead, you might be looking the other direction, or your view of him may be obstructed by your insecurity, your pride, your hate, your resentment towards others, whatever. But throughout the Bible, he promises he will never leave you. She also does a great job illustrating this point, and Isaac pointed it out to me this week in our men's Bible study. She said, I recall a time when I was in a large store and one of my children who suddenly looked up didn't see me by his side. I had never lost sight of him, but complete panic engulfed him when he realized I was not in his sight. I quickly gained his attention, and he realized he was never really separated from me, even though he had lost sight of me. Likewise, your heavenly Father never takes his eyes off you, and he will never lose sight of you. Praise God. Amen. Because how many times do I take my eyes off him? But he never takes his eyes off me. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified of them, whoever your them is, right? The Bible says fear of man is a trap, but the fear of God brings peace and freedom. So do not be afraid or terrified of them, for the Lord your God goes with you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, for by grace you've been saved. Grace, again, meaning you didn't do anything to earn it. For by grace you've been saved through your faith in Jesus Christ, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of your works, so that no one may what? So that no one may boast. Put another way, you can never work your way to heaven. You must put your trust in Jesus Christ, who came to earth as God in the flesh. You must put your trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and for eternal life. Now, I'm about to say something to you that's gigantic, so don't miss what I'm about to say to you. Eternal life is not a place. Eternal life is a person. It's being in a personal love relationship with the living God through faith in his one and only Son, his one and only Savior, Jesus Christ. And according to the Bible, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, then you don't believe in God. In fact, the Bible says in Matthew 1:23, behold, the Virgin Mary shall conceive and bear a son, Jesus, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So the Bible teaches that God loved us so much that he sent his one and only Son to die on the cross for our sins so that we could be born again, the Bible says in John chapter 3, and become children of God and have eternal life. In other words, be in an eternal love relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Look at John 3, 16 through 18 in your notes. For God so loved the world that he gave. What did God give? What did God give up for you? Everything. Jesus was God in the flesh. God gave up all of his rights, all of his privileges, and his one and only Son. You know when that hit me is when I watched my first, at that time, one and only Son playing in the den. God, that hit me watching Jake. About this tall. And you know, when they're that small, as far as we can see, we don't really get it, but as far as we can see, they're basically innocent. They haven't hurt anybody. They don't want to hurt anybody. They just want to be friends with everybody. They just want to love everybody and be loved by everybody. And when I saw that little boy, and I thought of all my enemies showing up demanding my son, would I be willing to give him up? I don't even have to go down that road. You know the answer. It wouldn't happen. As much as I love all of you, I wouldn't let one of you take my son's life. I wouldn't. I don't love you that much, but God does. He does. He gave up everything. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And whoever believes in him, Jesus Christ, that person is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. You see, once you believe in Jesus Christ and there's a line drawn in the sand. I remember when I was 18 years old, I drew a line in the sand with my brother. We were in the backyard. I drew a line in the sand with my little brother. And I said, if you're willing to hold me accountable to live for Christ for the rest of our lives, and you're willing to let me hold you accountable that you're going to live for Jesus Christ for the rest of your life, cross the line. But know that I will hold you accountable, and I will expect you to hold me accountable. We're still to this day, 61 and 62 years old, holding each other accountable literally on a weekly basis to live for God. You see, once you believe in Jesus Christ, then a line is drawn between you and the rest of the world, Galatians 6:14. Because now you've been born again, John 3:3, into the family of God. Point number two. Number one, salvation is by God's grace alone, through faith alone, and God's Savior, Jesus Christ alone. Point number two, the more we focus on God's grace through his one and only Savior, Jesus Christ, the less we will focus on the things of this world. Let me say that again. The more we focus on God's grace, understand God's grace, believe in God's grace, own God's grace, and live in God's grace, the less we will focus on the things of this world. I love the words to the old hymn. I think I put it in your notes. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. You see, before we came to Jesus Christ, we were all of us desperately working to achieve and be accepted by the world. But the more we know Christ and the more we understand, by the way, the more you know Christ, the more you'll understand your sin. The more you know Christ, the more you'll understand your own sin and realize the death penalty that he paid for you on the cross to redeem you and to bring you into his eternal family. And the more you know Christ, the less you will care about the things of this world, Paul is saying. 2 Corinthians 5 in your notes, Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come, and all of this is from God. It's all from God who reconciled us to himself, meaning he made us acceptable to himself through Jesus Christ. Now look back at verses 14 through 16. As for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died. It doesn't matter whether we've been circumcised or not. What counts is whether we have been transformed, born again into a new creation, spiritually speaking. May God's peace and mercy be upon all who live by this principle. They are the new people of God. They are the family of God. They are the Israel of God. Point number one, salvation is by God's grace alone, through faith alone, and God's Savior, Jesus Christ alone. Point number two, the more we focus on God's grace through his one and only Savior, Jesus Christ, the less we will focus on the things of this world. And point number three, the only way to experience God's grace and mercy is by placing your faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, which transforms you into a new creation. Only through our faith in the person and the work of Jesus Christ on our behalf can you and I be made into a new creation. Can you and I be born again, spiritually speaking, into the family of God? And even though we will struggle with sin from a practical standpoint, listen to this very closely. Even though as Christians we will continue to struggle with sin from a practical standpoint, we are made righteous and holy in the eyes of God from a positional standpoint. Now look at verses 17 and 18. From now on, don't let anyone trouble me with these things. I love this. Paul's saying, man, that's enough. I don't want to hear any more of this. Don't let anyone trouble me with these things, for I bear on my body the scars that show I belong to Jesus Christ. Dear brothers and sisters, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. And so Paul ends his letter, in effect, saying, look, quit allowing these Judaizers to mess with you and listen to me. Listen to what I'm saying, because after all, I bear the scars of authenticity on my body. In fact, he lists them in 2 Corinthians. I don't know if I had room for this in your notes or not. If I did, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11 there in your notes. Five times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, from robbers, from my own countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, and in cold and exposed. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. Bottom line, all the sufferings and persecution, listen to this, all the sufferings and persecution the Judaizers were looking to avoid, Paul said, I've experienced on account of my faith in Jesus Christ. And Jesus said in John 15:20, remember the word that I said to you, the slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If you believe in Jesus Christ and you stand for your faith in the world we live in, you will be persecuted for it. Jesus promised you would be. But it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it when we spend eternity with our Heavenly Father, listen to this, who loved us enough to give up His only Son for us. And here's what I think we will look like when we're finally home in the embrace of our loving Father. Chris, if you'll put up that picture, please, sir. That's my son and my grandson. Can you tell that they love each other? I think that's what we're going to look like when we're finally home in the loving embrace of our Heavenly Father that sacrificed everything to get us there. Amen? Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and we thank you for this priceless gift of eternal life, being able to be secure, wrapped in your loving arms. There's nothing this world can do to us. There's nothing anybody can do to Chris Irvin to take away what you have given me. And it's going to last for eternity. I can't lose it. I can't walk away from it. And nobody else can take it from me. Maybe you're here today or you're watching today and you would like to receive God's truth about how you can never work your way to heaven. That it's a free gift, and no matter what you do, it'll never be good enough because God's holy, completely separated from sin, and God's righteous with no sin. And you and I were born with a sin nature that separates us from God. But God, because of his love for everyone, the Bible says, he came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ to live a perfect life, die in your place and my place for the payment of our sins. And so maybe today you would like to accept God's free gift of salvation and eternal life by placing your faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If so, you might want to repeat a prayer with me somewhat like this. It doesn't have to be exactly like this because these are not magic words. The only thing that matters is that you mean it in your heart. Lord Jesus, I realize that you are the God of the universe and the Savior of the world. Today I want to put my faith in you. I want to believe in you, who you are, that you are God. And I want to believe in your work, your sacrifice on the cross and your resurrection from the dead, for my salvation, all for my salvation. I confess to you that I'm a sinner, and so today I'm asking for your mercy and forgiveness. I'm asking for the power of the resurrection to turn from my sins, and I'm asking for your grace to submit to your authority so that you can truly be the Lord of my life. Forgive me for playing God for so long. I'm ready to transfer control of my life to you and let you be my Lord and Savior. I'm ready to start living a life of abiding in you and allowing your word to abide, to remain in me. Thank you for loving me enough to die for me, to save me from my sins and make me a child of God. Or maybe you're here today and you're already a believer, but you've turned your focus somewhere else. Maybe you would say, you know what, Heavenly Father, I need your forgiveness because I've been more focused on the world. I've been more focused on building my own little kingdom here on planet Earth than I am on building your kingdom. And I want you to recalibrate my mind and recalibrate my heart and help get me back where I need to be, where I can focus on keeping in step with your spirit, where I can bring other people and loving other people to know Jesus Christ. And I know that I must remain in your word for this to happen, for me to bear that kind of fruit and fulfill the law of Christ. And so, Lord, please teach me what it looks like to live a life of loving you and serving others and keeping in step with you through your word. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Friend, if you prayed that first prayer asking Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, the Bible says if you meant it in your heart, you are now a child of God. I'm going to be here at the front as we worship together, and if you'd like me to pray with you or for you for anything, join me here at the front. Matt, you lead us, please, sir, as we sing this last song.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I've seen. summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and the peace that endureth. Thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings on mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Amen. Church family, be seated for a minute. Adam, come on up here and grab that mic from Grace. And one of our elders found a wedding ring in the bathroom and just assumed that I had lost my ring. What's up, man? Where's the respect? You know what I'm saying? I showed it to him. It's right here. But if you lost one, if you left a wedding ring, and all of a sudden you look down and you realize you don't have your black and blue wedding ring, Keith's holding it up right there, that dude in the purple shirt, and well, you come claim your ring, and we'll pray for his salvation at the same time. Adam is going to, we promised you we were going to try to give you a building update every month, so Adam, come and do that for us, please, sir.
Good morning, church family. So, yeah, just a quick update. Not a tremendous amount has changed, but there is some. So, owed for 100% completion, $5,361,937. That's a little less than last time, obviously, because we've made a payment. So you'll see that the GBF's cash for building cash on hand is a little less because we made that payment. So the line of credit, $2.7 million, is available and will be used. The pledges for 2025, 26, and 27, when we get down through those, we're still about the roughly the same amount as last month, the $1.233 million. Needed to be debt free at the end of 2027 there. So like I say, not a tremendous amount has changed, but just wanted to update y'all as we go forward like we said we would.
Amen.
You'll start seeing some more exciting stuff going on. There's been a tremendous amount of work going on, obviously, but it's all been at ground level and below. So, well, it's going to start to become more noticeable. We've got concrete footers in this week, and they're going to be doing concrete beams this coming week, and then we should be seeing, we'll have the concrete pad the second week of April. So, and then quickly after that, we'll start going more vertical. So that'll be exciting to see. Something just keep in mind, these bookmarks that we received when we did the prayer walk and that when we did the groundbreaking ceremony, there's more of them. If y'all don't have yours still, there's more of them on the welcome table. Keep them in your, maybe put them on the dash of your car or something like that, and then when you're around town running errands, if you got 2 minutes, swing by there, just park and pray that Amen. List of things over the site.
Amen.
It's the most powerful tool we've got, right? Let's use it. If you're sitting in the pickup line at school, just pray through that stuff. Just encourage you to keep doing that. That's all I've got. Thank you all.
Amen. He did such a great job last time. I told him he's got to do it again this month. So, but man, hey, and there are some more of these. If you didn't get one, we put them in every bulletin last week. If you didn't get one, you can grab one at the table, and you can pray through those things. And, you know, Andrea and I love to just, we'll be out around, and we'll go, hey, let's go buy the new church property, and let's just pull up and pray over that property, because it's going to enable us to just bring a lot more people in, make a room for a lot more people to know Jesus Christ and enter into his kingdom, which is the eternal life that we have, all of us have with him. Remember this week, there's no Wednesday Bible studies. It's spring break. And on March 30th, we're doing it on March 30th, so you might want to mark that down. Also, GBF 101. There's a sign-up sheet back there at that table. If you want to know what we believe and why we believe it, what we do and why we do it, so on and so forth, how our church is structured, you can learn all that through GBF 101, and you can sign up at that table back there. Pre-teen camp. There's a counselor meeting April 13th, so mark that down if you're going as a counselor to pre-teen camp. And then this year, like we always do, April 20th is Easter in the Park. We'll have breakfast at 9:15 for everybody, and then we'll do our worship service at 10 o'clock. And dress accordingly, right? I mean, you just never know, right? I think one Easter we it snowed, and so dress accordingly. One Easter it rained too much. We had to bring it back here. This is the default right here, okay, on Easter if something happens. And then last but not least, Ryan and Jake both, when they were about to get married, I told them, I said, look, if you will take your fiance and drive to Memphis, and I've already made an arrangement, stay with these friends of mine and let them do marriage counseling with you, I'll pay for the whole thing. Whatever you do when you're in Memphis, whatever you do on the way there, on the way back, I'm going to pay for everything. Twice, without me ever saying a word, Ryan and Jake have both said to me, Dad, that marriage counseling with Larry and Sherry has made being married such a blessing. They taught them some things they had to know. And they're coming here on August 1st through 3rd to do a marriage conference at GBF. Okay? And I'm telling you, I don't care how old you are, I don't care how long you've been married, you don't know everything. People act like, we act like we do, but we don't. There's still a lot of things Chris Irvin needs to know, learn, and understand. So make plans August 1st through 3rd. Larry and Sherry Ray are going to be here, and they're going to lead us. And it's going to be a lot of fun. Not only two of the wisest people I've ever met, but two of the funnest people I've ever met. Andrea and I just love being with them. And so it's going to be a great time, so make plans to be part of that as well. All right, I love you guys. Go out and enjoy this beautiful day. It's supposed to be in the 70s, amen. Let's stand, and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and we thank you. We thank you for your word. That, man, every morning it gets me back on track. I get recalibrated with your word and get back on track every morning. And I thank you and praise you for that, because I am so easily distracted by the things of this world. And Father, we thank you that you are the great physician. We thank you, Lord, for how much healing you've already done in Sharon's arm. We pray for Tim as he continues to go through chemo. And just by your grace, that dude keeps an incredible testimony and outlook on life. And I thank you and praise you for that. I just pray for your continued healing in him. And Lord, we thank you ahead of time for how you're going to use these doctors and these nurses to bring about healing in Terry's life. And we pray you be with his family, strengthen them as they walk through this journey with them. And I pray they come out on the other end, everyone in the family, knowing you better than they've ever known you before. In Jesus' name.